Hello, 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 and welcome to Mommy Files of a Black New Mom. My name is Shawnee Austin, soon to be Mrs. Y, and I have a beautiful new six-week-old baby who I am obsessed with and literally can kill for, Charlie Marie. Let me give you a little background on me. I am 27, soon to be 28, originally from New Jersey. My accent sucks, so this is what you're going to get. I currently live in the Baltimore, Maryland area. That accent sucked as well. But I am a new time mom. My baby is all of 5 weeks, almost 6 weeks. And she's super amazing and such a crybaby. And I love it. She's spoiled rotten. She acts just like me. Super emotional. And yet, I complain about all the things that she is because it's all of me and my fiance. So, let's get right into today's episode. Today is the first episode. I decided, I wanted to do this more or less as a ode to myself. I'm an obsessive person when it comes to podcasts. I'm a serial podcaster. I listen to probably 6 different podcasts weekly. I legit have the best job ever where I can sit at my desk, do my work, put my headphones in, and listen to an array of different podcasts. They're similar but different, if that makes sense. So today's episode is 10 things I wish I knew before I got pregnant. And the reason I say that is because naturally, when you don't have kids, and I was the main friend that was like single and mingling, no babies on board, I ain't got no kids, children where? I'm good. Now, don't get me wrong, I love babies. I have 2 amazing nephews who I love with all of their faces. I mean, literally obsessed. And then I have a beautiful chocolate dipped, I'm very descriptive, I'm sorry, goddaughter who is amazing and was legitimately the best thing ever. It was like a mini best friend, legitimately. So I'd love kids, love them ever since. I've always wanted kids. If you ask my best friend, she'll probably say, your crazy ass always said you wanted kids. You wanted kids now. You felt like you need a kid. You want a baby. You want to just squish them. And that's me. I love babies. I also love drinking and partying and sleeping till noon. Hey, hookah. Okay. I like brunch. All these things are very much non-kid friendly. That was me. I curse a lot. I drive a little crazy. I tend to party too much. All these things are bad for kids. I myself have lots of these pieces that make up a puzzle, which is AKA me. But in the same breath, I still wanted a child. It was a very eye-opening experience. One, because I had a little bit of infertility issues that we can, discuss at another episode. But it was one of those things where I've always had the thought in the back of my mind that Shawnee wasn't going to have a baby. Not because I didn't want a baby, but because physically I thought it was impossible. Again, we'll get deeper in that. But little to be known, I had some things go my way and I ended up pregnant. The gentleman, the man of my dreams, I laugh because he's all of the things that I hate and love in men. And legitimately, I curse him out even when I don't want to curse him out because he does nothing. So that's just me. Came into my life. We have a very great and interesting relationship. We'll get into that later. But we have a great relationship, which kind of developed in a very unique way. But in the same breath, we became pregnant. And the crazy part about it was there was 2 signs I was already pregnant. The first sign came from his brother. We were having Thanksgiving and enjoying a good time. And legitimately, his brother says something jokingly, and we crack a joke because he's about to become a grandfather. His oldest daughter, who is 20, is about to have a baby. And we're, cracking the little old man jokes. And he's pretty young. Don't get me wrong. He's definitely late 30s, early 40s, not to put his business out there. But, pretty young for a grandpa. But, nonetheless, we joked around. He said, oh, y'all are going to have a baby. He's like, watch. gave us the whole Color Purple, if you've never seen it. Whoopi Goldberg gives her the finger, you know, till you do right by me kind of situation. Very eerily crazy, but also, black people know. When people say it, sometimes it be too real. That was sign one. Sign two, I am not a get sick easily kind of person. I tend to not feel well, but get sick is kind of a, not really. Especially when it comes to things like me just legitimately sick, don't want to do anything. I am lactose intolerant. I can eat cheese and ice cream and have cramps and still be like, I want to go out. I know, something's wrong with me. But nonetheless, I was feeling sick, wasn't feeling great, and even admitted out loud I was sick. And he looks at me and goes, you're probably pregnant. My face completely twists and goes, no, I'm not pregnant. And he's like, okay. And completely goes on with the rest of his conversation. We had no kind of pause in it. It was no kind of argument. It was definitely one of those, oh, okay, cool. Left it alone. As I, you know, come to my period for the next month of December, I realized, oh, baby, my period is late. And my period is pretty prompt. Prompt in the sense of, like, I might be 1 or 2 days late. I'm a very stress-driven person. So, I usually am a little tardy for the party because of my stress. Yeah, baby, this was, like, 4 days deep. And I'm like, okay, something is wrong. And I need to figure it out. So, I go to my local, you know, gyno healthcare center that my insurance allows me to go to for free. And I take a pregnancy test. Of course, the pregnancy test comes back and says, guess what, girl? You pregnant. I legit call my best friend, have a slight panic attack, and I go, what did I get myself into? Like, how did you, girl? What? No. All these feelings. Call him, and of course, he starts laughing. He's like, I told you you're pregnant. I don't understand what this call is about. And I was like, really? He was like, but I told you. Okay. This is the parts where I hate him. He's very arrogant and very know-it-all-y. But it's also me. I'm very much the same way, which is a part of our problem. But that, again, another episode. But nonetheless, I found out I was pregnant. I legitimately told one person, and if my fiance ever hears this, he's gonna kill me, because we told, we were not gonna tell anybody until we told our family, but I definitely told my best friend. And I freaked out because legitimately she and I are so close, we can share a womb. That's how close we are. So if I didn't tell her, I would lose my mind. But, you know, we decided we're going to tell our families, you know, we'll wait to tell everybody else. Cool. Long story short, I'm pregnant. Now, pregnancy is not a horrible thing. So don't take these 10 advice, 10 tips, 10 steps of whatever you feel this is going to be. No Drew Hill. But take it as what you may. These are just my opinions. I am a new mom. I am a, you know, fresh out the womb kind of girl. And I definitely didn't know a lot of things I wanted to say, how opinionated I wanted to be. And I definitely wish someone would have gave me some kind of realistic tips. And when I say realistic, I mean, be honest with me. Don't give me the sugar-coated, sweet, nice, nothing. Give me like, hey, this is what's going on, girl. Because, bitch, you need a wake-up call. I'm sorry I cursed. You know, but this is adult time, adult conversation. My baby's, you know, not here. So we're going to just enjoy adult conversation. So, tip one. The best tip ever is accept being emotional. The reason I say accept it, because I, as my friends would call me, am a tough cookie. I am mean. I can be stubborn. I can even be called manlike because I'm a little cold. I'm a little harsh. I'm a little rough around the edges. But you have to accept these emotions. Pregnancy makes you a crybaby, makes you soft, makes you sensitive, makes you all of these things that you may hate about the gushiest, smushiest woman you know. Literally, it melts you like old butter that's been sitting out. You can't help it. It's super difficult. It's super honest, but, you know, take it as it may. I learned this the hard way. I am a very much, you know, open opinionated kind of girl, and my feelings would get hurt. And I would cry and I would be sad. And I'm like, girl, you need to suck this up. You need to toughen this up, girl. You need to wake up and smell the coffee and not be so soft and stop crying and stop letting shit get under your, like, literally, these are everyday pep talks. Yeah. But I digress. Two. Tip number two. So my second tip is be nice to your mate. And if you're single, and I really feel bad for you, don't get me wrong, it's a hard journey to do alone. You can be the strongest woman in the world, but having someone to share this with is the most amazing thing ever. And I pray your strength. I know that it may not have been by choice, and that's a harder part. But if it is by choice, I say at least try to make it work. Try to have a co-parent situation, especially because I feel like it's really hard to be pregnant by yourself. But also, you need to be nice to your mate. I was definitely a meanie. I definitely caused arguments, started arguments, ended arguments, whatever. You say things you don't mean. You say really harsh things that can hurt feelings. But your mate is also going through things. They might have their own fears and stress and worries and all other things that kind of come with knowing that now they're going to be a parent too. Even though they're not holding this baby, they are definitely about to be a parent. They definitely have stress. They definitely have worry. They definitely can panic. And be nice to them. Because you're going to be emotional. Because you're going to be an emotional roller coaster. It is not nice or fair to legitimately take it out on them. It's a very harsh reality. It really sucks. And a lot of times people don't realize how mean they can be. And when you're pregnant, being mean is kind of like, putting on your shoes, girl. It happens. And it happens all the time. And as much as you want to say you're not a mean person, pregnancy makes people who are the nicest snap. And I just so happened to be pregnant around the same time a couple of my friends were. And I noticed it. It wasn't just me. My nicest friend was cursing out her grandmother because legitimately the lady messed up her food and she couldn't contain herself. This old lady didn't know what she did. How crazy is that? Yeah. Be nice to your mate. Your mate is going to be your teammate. Your mate is going to be your bestie. It's going to be your rolly. It's going to be the person who hopefully is going to hold your leg up in the stirrups while you push this baby out your coochie. Take it in real. Be nice. Be nice. Be nice. Be nice. Tip number three. Stace. So, tip number three. Take a shower. I mean that in the best way. I say it like a friend who knows you well. I say it like your mama. Take a shower. Wash your ass. Take a shower. I say this because I learned this the hard way through pregnancy. In the first few weeks, it takes a lot to get in the shower. And it takes a lot of energy that you're building up to do it. And when you have a baby, baby, you ain't even going to have time to take a shower. But if you get 5 minutes, if it's the quickest hot shower you can give yourself, scrub down from head to toe, do it. It will rejuvenate you. It'll make you feel better. It'll help cleanse your day. It will legitimately turn your mood all the way around. And it was something that I had a friend tell me, you know, take a shower every day. Make sure you take a shower. And I was like, girl, what? And I didn't take it like, why the fuck is you telling me? I said it like, do I stink or something? She was like, no. But it will legitimately make your day a day. Because if you're wearing the same cruddy stuff you had on yesterday and the same yoga pants you've been wearing for a week, or that same messy bun that now is just a dirty bun, you need to take a shower. It'll help. Put some clean, fresh pajamas on. Just wash your face. Get your life back together. Become you again. Tip number four. Do not become a slave to food. And the reason I say that is because when you're pregnant, you naturally just want everything. And then when you're not pregnant no more, baby girl, that stuff you ate is still on you. That cheesesteak you ate, that big plate of macaroni and cheese, them 4 hot dogs, them chips. Yeah. It don't just drip off you when your baby come out your hoo-ha. Don't come to when it comes to, oh, you know, we're eating for two. No, you're eating for one. Because you're the only one that's going to have this when you're done. You know this, right? Like, she's not going to come out with all the cheesesteaks and chili fries and Cheeto puffs and all that you ate. It don't work that way. Just FYI. Tip number 5. And I say this nicely. I say this with the warmest of hearts. Invest in big underwear. I am a Victoria's Secret kind of girl. I like the laces. I like the cute little panties. Not underwear. Panties. Panties are very different than underwear. Ask a man. He be like, oh, you got underwear on. Oh, you got on some panties. Totally different. But when you're pregnant, invest in big old underwear. Invest in comfortable underwear. Invest in underwear that you can use while you're still healing and recuperating from this baby. Do all of these things. And I say it with the nicest of voices because I myself was like, I'm not buying no drawers. I don't need no bigger drawers. I'm in the drawers that I'm in. I don't know what you're going to tell me. And as I got bigger, my butt got bigger, my hips got bigger, my thighs got bigger. And my fiance would look and go, you need some bigger underwear. And I'm like, don't talk about me. He said, your underwear don't fit. Your butt crack is out. Yeah, he's a joy. A pure joy, if you haven't noticed. But he was right. I was causing myself more pain with these little underwear that was cutting off circulation, giving me a yeast infection, all these problems. And they weren't comfortable. They just were small underwear. So that's what ended up happening with me getting bigger underwear. I did not want to admit it, but baby, them high cut big briefs that your mama might have bought you when you were, you know, the young girl, you know, still getting Christmas gifts that were underwear that you would like never want to wear in front of a man. These are the most comfortable things when you're pregnant. All your belly's in it. Your butt is covered. You feel comfortable. It's a very great feeling. And it's interesting because I definitely was like, why am I buying these big old drawers, Lord? I don't know. And then what I ended up having, I love them. I love them. Get cotton too. Satin, silk, and those shiny fabrics. They're not good on your lady bits. And I got pregnant right before summer. So I was pregnant through the entire summer. So me being pregnant through the entire summer, baby, it was hot in all places. Boobs, butt, all that. So I made sure I invested in some cotton big draws. So where do we leave off? Let's go right into it. Let's go into tip number six. Tip number six would be to over-prepare. And when I say that, you might take it lightly and say, what do you mean, girl? Why over-prepare? That doesn't make sense. I'm not an over-preparing kind of girl. When I say over-prepare, it doesn't hurt to read books, to brush up on some new things. I packed my pregnancy bag legitimately maybe almost a month before I actually gave birth. And the reason I did that, because I didn't know it was my first child, and I didn't want to have to wait and have my fiance pack my bag, because girl, God only knows what he would have packed. I also rather have had, you know, a game plan, knowing where my pediatrician was going to be, knowing, you know, where my next doctor's appointment was, knowing what I wanted to ask my doctor before I got to my doctor's visits, knowing, you know, what to expect. Every time I had a question, I wanted to be prepared. And I said, you know, I'd rather be overly prepared so that I don't have a bunch of unanswered questions or I'm panicking and having anxiety. And I'm a little anxiety prone, so that might not work for everyone, but it worked for me. I tried my best to talk to all my friends and family that were pregnant, getting different advice. And honestly, it didn't hurt to ask. I didn't take everybody's advice and run with it. I also didn't, you know, ask people I really didn't trust their answer with. For me, I asked people I cared about. Both my sister-in-law's breastfed, so I got most of my breastfeeding advice from them. My best friend and I are same age, and I asked her, you know, more or less how she felt, how she went through it, what to expect, what she thought about, you know, giving birth, how her birth went. You know, I like to ask people, you know, who had a natural birth versus who had a C-section. These are all things you have to be aware of. And it sucks because a lot of people don't know, and then they reach the last minute, and then guess what happens? You don't know nothing. I'd rather ask people what to expect. I did watch videos, which is really hard. Videos are really graphic. Like, I also figured that asking people questions were never a bad thing. And when you ask people questions, you don't have to accept all the answers. You have to pick and choose what you want to hear. Pick and choose what you think is vital to your situation. I really didn't know too many people who gave a natural birth until I was closer to actually giving birth. My college roommate was pregnant at the same time. One of my former coworkers was pregnant at the same time. And they both had their girls prior to me. So I was able to ask them questions, ask them how it went, see them, talk to them, get any real life, you know, real time advice. And they're pregnancies were different, their birth were different, but it was very, you know, eye-opening for me. I was able to see different experiences because both my sister-in-laws had C-sections, my best friend had a C-section, so they had a very different perspective. My best friend had an emergency C-section, my sister-in-law had a planned C-section, my other sister-in-law had a kind of, you don't have no other choice, we see that the baby's not going to make it down, so kind of a last minute decision, but it was what it was. Number seven, lucky seven. Yeah, I can't sing, it's okay. I say this because I feel like it's going to be controversial, but you need to figure out ahead of time if you want breastfeed or not. And the reason I say that is because I'm a black woman, if you haven't noticed, but I feel like black people not knowingly always promote using formula. They are not big on breastfeeding. And maybe it's just people I know or the things I've seen, but even when I read up on it, it said black people, you know, are not the ones that are breastfeeding out here. Now, it's a predominant white thing, Asian thing, every other culture kind of is big on it, but black people aren't. And I think it's kind of one of those things where they look at the body as a gross thing, which is why we have the biggest mental health issues. But it's also kind of you do what your mama do. My mom breastfed, both my sister-in-law's breastfed. My sister-in-law actually put me onto a Facebook group that was black women who breastfeed. And I read up on it, on the health benefits, on the quality of it. And because I worked in different kind of communities, I worked for a restaurant that had predominantly Spanish women. They put me on to really, you know, breastfeeding being in their community and them, you know, really promoting it. And I was like, you know, maybe I'll breastfeed. And the reason I said that was because I felt like after reading all I read, after seeing all I did, I kind of always found there was no wrong answer for breastfeeding. It always came across like, oh, I should, you know, breastfeed. There's nothing wrong with it. All these health benefits, all these, you know, people who literally tell you like, hey, my baby, you know, was healthier. My baby got over her being sick faster. My baby, you know, helped me do X, Y, and Z. My child, you know, was so much healthier. My child was, you know, able to fight off whatever disease, but it also helped the mom lose weight. It also helped the mom deal with postpartum. It was a lot of different benefits, but the health benefits, all the nutrients you get out of a natural, you know, being able to breastfeed. And then I also saw some of the difficulty my friends and family had with formula. It's not a one-fit thing. So you get formula, it may or may not work with your child. Your child may or may not be able to digest it. And then recently they had this big article about how there was just straight up flour in the canned milk. I said, this is what I'm talking about. You literally gave your child flour and water. Literally. I said, no, this is why I want to breastfeed. And I was very grateful. Like, my family wasn't weird about it or, you know, disheartening. Like, oh, you trying to do that weird stuff or that white people shit. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. That too predominantly are breastfeeding. And they have communities of it. And they have lactation helpers. And they have all type of consultants and all types of committees that support them. Meanwhile, the black community, literally, I had an ex-boyfriend of my mom who was like, oh, if you and him have kids, you shouldn't breastfeed. Your boobs are going to look like this and they're going to sag. And she had all these more vanity answers of why I shouldn't breastfeed. Not, oh, you know, it may not be good for you. It may not be good for the baby. It was legitimately all vanity. So by the time we finished the conversation, I looked at her totally different because of her perspective of me wanting to give my child the natural nutrients that God gave us. Before people were, you know, stealing milk from cows or powdering up whatever they're putting in these cans, the only milk you got was from your mama's boob. Then somewhere down the line, people looked at it as a gross, kind of unnatural thing. And I'm like, but I can feed my baby anytime. I can stop what I'm doing and feed my baby. My body is naturally producing this. My body naturally produces babies. 2 and 2 make 4. Now,
People might hate me about it because I'm opinionated about it, but as we're having this conversation now, I'm pumping. I am a mom who multitasks while my baby is nestled in her crib that she self-soothed herself to sleep, and I feel amazing. Number 8. Ocho no cinco. Okay, sorry. I think one of the best things you can do, and this is more or less something I found realizing, is treat yourself while you're pregnant. Getting a pedicure, getting your hair done, getting your nails done, going to get a massage. Don't be afraid to treat yourself. Don't be afraid to legitimately take some time. Go take a walk. Whatever you enjoy doing, go take a painting class, a pottery class, whatever. And legitimately take a break. And the reason I say that is because your body is going through so much. My feet swelled up so bad because I was working 10 hours, 12 hour days. My freaking back was killing me, my boobs, which I started off with a G, and they still swole and got bigger. And I could not even fathom my boobs getting bigger, and they did. So my back was like, girl, lay down. I found myself having headaches, and I wasn't really big on headaches, so it was really weird because I was getting these like random migraines throughout the day, and I found like I just couldn't function and I wasn't used to it. So what did I do? I went and I seeked out, you know, ways to kind of make myself feel better, kind of that self-help, kind of treat yourself kind of thing. And yes, you know, I was grateful my fiance would rub my feet and rub my back and make sure, you know, I was eating and making sure I was doing all types of things that I kind of needed to do. So it was very helpful. And it's good to treat yourself because your body's going through all these changes. And I felt like this was the one little moment I felt better. It was the 10-minute massage I got while my pedicure was happening. Me being able to get my hair washed for, you know, a style that I really needed, because when you're pregnant, a ponytail is a quick answer, but it becomes matted really, really fast. And your hair is growing like crazy while you're on prenatals. So don't be afraid to just treat yourself a little bit. Take some time out. Number 9. Ooh, ooh. So I would say the funniest part of it all, except that clothes don't fit. Treat yourself to a couple good outfits. Get a couple pieces of clothing. Don't live in your boyfriend's clothes. And be grateful if your boyfriend's bigger than you, because if he's not, then you definitely can't live in his clothes. I personally did not really feel myself wanting to buy any bigger clothes. One, because I am a kind of plus size girl. I wasn't huge, but I was about a 16, 18 before I was pregnant. I got to about 18, 20 when I was, you know, fully pregnant. My mom actually went and bought me some really great dresses because of my job. I was in the office, so I was able to just throw on a cute little summer dress and go to work. Invest in some good shoes. I went to Walmart and bought some super soft cushiony slides because my feet were swelling, so I couldn't wear my, you know, work sneakers or my Crocs or any of those kind of shoes. And I found that the flip-flops, the flat shoes, were killing my feet. So I found some really good cushion, almost like orthopedic old lady shoes. But they were so comfortable. They helped so much. They supported my arch. They were waterproof. And they were $10. So when they got ruined, I didn't, like, cry about it. Like, oh my God, I just ruined a $90 pair of shoes. Or I just ruined a really expensive pair of work shoes. And plus, when your feet are swelling, you need something that you can just slide your feet in. Because a lot of my shoes just did not fit, period. And by the time, you know, they will fit again, you may not really want to wear them. Or they may not be, you know, the first thing you grab. Because I'm so used to wearing flip-flops, but I found myself being really clumsy. So I always made sure I had on shoes that had laces. Because I was like, hey, I'm carrying a baby. I can't, you know, trip and fall out of a flip-flop or lose my shoe or break a heel. You got to be realistic. And now, drum roll, please. Sorry, that was my homemade drum roll. Number 10. Talk to your motherfucking doctor. And I say this with the warmest of hugs, the nicest of voices, the sweetest of charms. Talk to your doctor. Don't be afraid to ask her questions. Don't be afraid to question her, you know, her answers. Don't be afraid to get a second opinion. Don't be afraid to question, you know, whether or not you agree with her, whether or not you think, you know, her opinion's a good one. I was really grateful. The doctor that I went to was a new doctor when I was pregnant versus my regular gynecologist, because I had just switched to insurance, and I was so grateful. She, you know, was so open to questions. She was so easy to talk to. She always was like, if you have a question, call. When you're pregnant, they give you a number where you can reach your doctor, but also the doctor on call. So I found myself, you know, kind of being hesitant and talking to my mom a lot. But full disclosure, my mom's an OBGYN, so talking to her was like talking to a doctor, but she still suggested talk to your doctor. Let your doctor know. What did your doctor say? She really pushed me to talk to her because, hey, that's what she is there for. That is why we pay her. This is what your insurance is calling for. Talk to your motherfucking doctor. She wants to know all your concerns, and she's here to answer it. She wants to know all your worries. She's here to answer it. She also wants to know what's going on with you, because those can be signs of things that may or may not be a problem, that may or may not be an issue, that, hey, may or may be very vital to you and your unborn child. Plus, she gives good advice. She'll tell you things that you really need to hear. She'll tell you things that are really helpful to hear. So don't be afraid to talk to your doctor. Tell her what's going on. Tell her your fears. Tell her what you're thinking. Any new symptoms or new things going on, talk to her. Let her know, hey, I've been going through this, this, and this. I've been thinking this, this, and this. Me and my husband been having sex, and it hurts. Me and my, you know, therapist were talking about this. Whatever. She's there. Talk to her. Use her to your advantage. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody who literally has all the answers, or at least can find you an answer, or comfort your worries. I found myself being worried about talking about breastfeeding, and she was very honest. She was like, we can set you up with a lactation specialist. We can bring this. We can do that. And I was grateful. I was grateful because she wasn't, you know, trying to persuade me to do something else. But she also was like, we can get you a solution. We can figure out what fits you. We can figure out what makes you comfortable. We can figure out, you know, do you want to have a C-section? Do you want to have a, you know, a membrane scraping? Do you want us to induce you? It was very helpful. But it was also things I didn't know about. This is my first baby, and I was scared and unaware. So, let's sum up all of these juicy, juicy tips. I say all of these tips are my personal opinion. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Kosher, preferably. Don't be afraid to question everything or, you know, research everything. I found myself in a very vulnerable place when I was pregnant. And I found myself very much panicky. I was very worried. I didn't really get to enjoy the beginning of my pregnancy because literally everyone was like, you know, the first few months are the most delicate months. So here I am, like, tiptoeing, not wanting to eat this, don't drink that, don't touch this, don't go around that. But then I missed some of those precious little moments in the beginning of enjoying being that fresh, no one knows you're pregnant kind of feeling. And then by the time I did get to enjoy it, it was kind of midway through, and, you know, some of the sparkle had dusted off. And one of the things I realized was that the end of your pregnancy is the longest part of your pregnancy. Legitimately longest. But these tips are stuff that I found helpful. These tips are things that I found were a part of my game plan of kind of coping with things, giving advice to my fellow friends who are pregnant. One of my sorority sisters just found out she's pregnant, and these tips I gave are literally tips I'm giving to her. And not because I'm perfect, but because I felt as though I could do nothing but give advice and hope for the best, because when you're pregnant, everybody's pregnancy is different. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's feelings are different. And it's hard, especially if you've never been pregnant before or this is your first child. You need to know and have as much advice as possible, and then you can decipher what you want to hear. don't be afraid to say, okay, she said, you know, don't drink castor oil. My mother was like, don't drink castor oil. People doing all that, all it's going to do is make you poop. But then a lot of people said it helps you induce labor. I didn't do it, but if that's what you feel you want to do, fine. One of my friends is pregnant now. She wants to do a doula instead of doing, you know, the hospital route. Awesome. We talked about it. We had a conversation about it. I wished her luck. I'm not going to downplay her wanting to use a doula. If you feel that's your kind of road, if you want to do a water birth, if you want to have a baby in the ocean, if you want to push your baby out on the side of 95, go ahead. I'm not the person who's going to give you advice, but I'm also going to be the person that says it doesn't hurt to take advice. So, long story short, these are just some quick tips, and I say take it, leave it, do what you may, but also don't be afraid to research, to Google, to do whatever little search engine you use, to get a mommy app. That was helpful as well. That'll be a bonus tip. But that was one of the things that I did when I first found out I was pregnant. My actual period tracker turned into a baby tracker once I said I was pregnant in it. So that was kind of cool. And it was one of those things where you just legitimately, you know, have to adjust to a very quick thing happening. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's also enlightening. Watch a video or two. Be very aware, which is why I say watch a video. Because some people don't watch videos, and then when it's time to make shit happen, shit gonna happen with you or without you. But you gotta take it for what it is. Don't, you know, kill yourself if you don't agree with everything you see. And don't, you know, necessarily feel like if you question something or if you have a question, it's wrong to ask. I found myself having a million and one questions. But I was grateful I didn't have people who questioned me or who made me feel like, why are you asking all these questions? They were like, girl, it's okay to ask questions. Ask more questions. Ask more than more questions. And if you feel like you got more questions, ask them too. So, all I have to say is do what works for you, boo, and you'll be fine. And when you have questions, ask them. And when you feel questionable, question that. But it's another great episode. Well, this is technically my first episode. So, I guess I'll see you on my next episode. Tune in, subscribe, love, like, all of the things. And don't forget, this is why we're here. Because we're young, black, and pregnant. That's real. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.